What is up, bros? I am not Caleb, but I am Jonathan. So Caleb cannot be on this episode. So just wanted to get on here and apologize to all you bros out there for us not only missing last week, we're really sorry about that, but also this week not being a regular episode. Just unfortunately some things happened this week. Caleb had to attend to some things, completely understandable, but we will definitely be back to our regular scheduled program next week, where we will be discussing the Bob Marley music biopic One Love. So that's gonna be exciting. If you guys want to watch that before you listen to our review, that is on Paramount Plus right now. But you know, just kind of like get some content out there this week, I kind of want to run through the movies that are coming out for this summer and kind of just go through like if I'm excited for them, if I'm not, you know. And I picked like the big ones, like the ones that are going to, I feel, the most popular, that hopefully will do well at the box office. We'll see. One is doing really bad so far, and I feel bad for the studio and all those involved. But anyway, so the summer movie season of 2024 has officially kicked off. We're in May, guys. It's insane. It is truly insane. Just going through some of the movies that are coming out this summer. May has already started off, like I said, and we've already gotten The Fall Guy from that. That opened a couple weeks ago. Opened, I believe, May 3rd. And unfortunately, it did not do well at the box office, at least in its opening weekend. $28 million. From what I hear, it's like the lowest summer movie season opening in 15 years. Because usually Marvel movies always open at the beginning of summer, or at the beginning of May. Really, the beginning of summer, come on. May kicks off the summer movie season. Always has, always will. But yeah, The Fall Guy is the lowest May box office opening, or summer box office opening, sorry, in 15 years. Yeah, I'm sure Universal is kind of regretting taking that spot a little bit when Deadpool and Wolverine had to drop out from that because of the strikes, I believe. So yeah, that sucks. I still kind of want to see it. Might wait for a $5 Tuesday, because I feel like it's something you definitely should see on the big screen. But I don't know if I want to pay full price for that. I'm still interested in it. Love Ryan Gosling, love Emily Blunt, so I'll still check it out eventually. And hey, maybe that's a future review. We'll see. One, though, that Caleb better be down to review, because frickin' this is like, next to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, this was like my most anticipated movie of the year, and I can't wait to freaking see this movie. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Oh my god, I'm so freaking excited for this movie. It's getting rave reviews already. They are comparing it to Rise, Dawn, and War. They're saying it's just as good. The Planet of the Apes movies haven't lost their thunder at all, so I am over the freaking moon. I cannot wait to see this goddamn movie. I'm going to put money, I'm putting money right now, that Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes becomes my favorite movie of the year. It's number one, because War was it in 2017, so I'm just putting money on it. I think it's going to be Ghostbusters, we'll see, but I just have a feeling, guys, I have a feeling that it is going to be number one. Some other movies coming out this month, we got If, Imaginary Friend, the new movie, family movie, directed by John Krasinski, starring Steve Carell and a bunch of other people. Like, seriously, the cast list is insane. Like, holy shit. Like, I don't want to even know the movie's budget because of how freaking stacked the cast is. It's freaking insane. But, you know, the trailer reels look fun. It's definitely not one I'm like, oh my god, I have to see this, like, opening weekend. But I think I'll eventually check it out. I don't know if I'll check it out in theaters. We'll see if Caleb wants to check, if Caleb wants to review If while it's still in theaters, great. But if we wait till streaming, I'm not kicking myself. It's okay with me. So, you know, I'm interested, but I'm not like super excited for If. The Strangers Chapter 1 is also coming out this month. Definitely excited for this one. I've voiced my opinion on some of the problems that I have with this on previous episodes. But yeah, just like there, like, I still love the direction they're going. I'm always going to be excited for a Strangers movie, but I don't love the fact that in these, because it's three chapters that we're getting, but it's going to explore why the Strangers do what they do. I'm the kind of person that thinks, why do I want to know what the Strangers do what they do? They're just sick, twisted people that are doing this shit for fun. That's all I want to know. That's all I need to know. Because there are people out there like that. So yeah, I don't really need a deep dive into who the Strangers are, who these three are. But I guess that's what we're getting. So, still excited though. We also got Furiosa, was it a Mad Max saga? Something like that. I really enjoyed Mad Max Fury Road, so I'm definitely interested in this one. I hope it's a lot of fun. Frickin' you got Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth, so, like, fingers crossed that it's gonna be a good time. I really hope it is. So, I'm definitely gonna check that one out in theaters. Like, that is one thing that, like, when it comes to George Miller's, I hope I said the director right. I hope it's George Miller. otherwise people are gonna frickin' attack me. But the thing with, like, George Miller, with Mad Max Fury Road, that was one of the best movies I've ever seen in 3D. Like, oh my god, it was incredible. So yeah, these movies are definitely ones that you need to see on the big screen. So definitely checking out Furiosa on the big screen. I'm excited for that one. And then to cap off May, you got Garfield. Yeah, I'm excited actually for this one. The Chris Pratt voice has grown on me. It really has. And I don't know what else to say. Like, I've always loved Garfield. I really enjoy the first live-action Garfield movie. The second one sucks. The only thing that's good in that movie is Bill Murray and Tim Curry. That's really the only good, that's the only saving grace about Garfield, The Tale of Two Kitties. But at least the first one is fun. Bill Murray definitely seems like he's phoning it in. But you know what? That's okay. That's definitely okay. But just, it's funny that, like, all the other characters from Garfield, like, actually look like real cats. And, you know, Odie, a dog. Like, they don't look like their animated counterparts. But, you know, of course, with Garfield, they actually had to make him not look like a, like, they tried their best to make him look like a regular cat. But, like, come on, yeah. but, yeah, no, I'm excited for this one. The animation looks great. Like, holy shit. The animation looks freaking amazing. Phenomenal. I'm definitely excited for Garfield. Then in June we got Bad Boys Ride or Die. I have never seen a Bad Boys movie, nor, I'm sorry, do I plan to. Just they don't interest me. It's just not my thing. It's not my forte. So yeah, sorry, not excited for that. Inside Out 2, freaking my number one most anticipated animated film of this year. I hope it lives up to the first one. I pray, because, like, the first one is in my top three favorite Pixar movies. I love Inside Out, and I'm very interested how they're going to explain how these new emotions work, because it seems like the way that the trailers are explaining is because, the way Anxiety explains it, that Riley at this age needs, like, deeper emotions, or more complex emotions. I think that's what she says. And so it's interesting, you know, diving, you have, you know, like, the basic five emotions, but then you also have these, like, very specific emotions. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how they do that. Nevertheless, I'm excited. Really, really excited for Inside Out 2, but I pray that it lives up to the first one. Please, Pixar, do not let me down with that one. And then, another one, big one coming out in June. We got A Quiet Place Day One. Never seen any of the Quiet Place movies. I know, freaking kick myself right now. But you know what? I think I really need to watch them, because this one looks so freaking good. And I've always wanted to experience a Quiet Place movie in the theaters. And I think I want to make this one that experience. So I'm definitely going to watch the first two before this movie comes out. And I'm definitely seeing this on the big screen. It sounds like such a fun environment, seeing a Quiet Place movie in the theaters. Just nothing but silence. Like, literally the one crunch of a popcorn, everyone can hear it. It's just, I love that. I love that aesthetic. It's so great. What else we got? All right, so coming out in July, July is a pretty stacked month too. Like, honestly, all the months have some good stuff coming out. I feel August is the weakest, at least to me. Could be different for you guys out there. I'm very curious what Caleb thinks about this list, if what he thinks of August especially. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. July, we got Despicable Me 4. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not really looking forward to this. I've seen the first three. I've seen the first Minions. I still have not seen The Rise of Gru. I own it. I need to watch it. I don't see why you needed a Despicable Me 4. Oh, I know why. Because money. Because the Despicable Me movies make so much damn money. That is why. That is why we need a Despicable Me 4. That is the only sole reason why we need this damn fourth movie. But yeah, just, I don't know, the trailer didn't do it for me. I didn't find the jokes funny. The Minions I find annoying now. Yeah, no, I'm not really excited for Despicable Me 4, but you know what? If you guys are, that's awesome. Kudos to you for, if you still enjoy this franchise, that's awesome. Just, it doesn't do it for me anymore. Also coming out, we got Twisters. I've never seen Twister, but I'm not gonna lie, the trailer for Twisters has me very intrigued. So I definitely want to check out Twister before I see Twisters, and I definitely want to see, frickin' Twisters on the big screen, especially in, Cinemark XD, Cinemark's equivalent of IMAX. I want to see this shit on the biggest screen possible, because yeah, that's gonna look so freaking dope. I'm not gonna lie, even though I've never seen Twisters, I'm very much excited for Twisters. And then to cap the July, to cap off the month of July, I'm going to be honest, it's not my most anticipated movie of the summer. Mine's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, but I feel it's everybody else's most anticipated movie of the summer. I'm sure it's Caleb's too. And that is Deadpool and Wolverine. Don't get me wrong, I'm really excited for this. I really, really hope it's as good as the first two. I don't really have anything bad to say about this. The two trailers that we've gotten, I really like the direction that they're going. It's freaking amazing seeing Deadpool and Wolverine working together. I love Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman's chemistry. It's freaking awesome. This looks like it's, I hope it's going to be a good time, and I pray it's good. I really do. I hope it's a really good third movie and it's just as good as the first two. So that's it for July. Moving on to August. And you know what? I still can't believe that they made a damn movie about this. But you know what? They turned every cartoon into a live action movie. Harold and the Purple Crayon. Crayon. I still can't believe that this is a movie. That this is a thing. You know, Zachary Levi from the trailers, it's clear that he's trying. He's definitely doing whatever he can to make this work and look cool. But, it kind of looks fun. I will admit that the trailer has me interested. But I don't, it just, maybe it's just because I'm old. I don't want to think about me being almost 30. God, I'm 2 years away from being 30. Kill me now. but I don't know, just Harold and the Purple Crayon, the live action movie. What's next? Caillou? Oh God, please no. No, Jonathan, don't give Hollywood any ideas. Please, for the love of God, do not do a Caillou movie. I will rip my hair out. Yeah, just, no. But you know what? Maybe I could be proven wrong. Maybe Harold and the Purple Crayon might actually be good. It might be good. I'm skeptical, but I'm still interested. The next up, we got Borderlands, the movie. I've never played any of the games, but you know what? This one kind of does look fun. The trailer kind of sold me. And freaking the cast is pretty damn good. The cast is pretty stacked. With Kate Blanchett, Kevin James, Kevin Hart, and Jamie Lee Curtis, like, Oh, Jack Black. Almost forgot about Jack Black. Like, great cast. It's just I've never played any of the games, so I don't know anything about the story. So I will literally be going into this movie blind. But you know, maybe that could be a good thing. So I'm definitely interested in that one. And then we also got Alien Romulus coming out. Never seen any of the Alien movies, so maybe I should actually finally check some out to go see this one. And I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of fans of the Alien franchise actually really excited for this one because it definitely looks like they're taking it back to its origins, which is always a good thing. When something is failing, keeping the franchise alive, going back to its origins is usually the best call, and it usually will save the franchise. Sometimes it doesn't, but you just have to hope, and usually it does. If it's given the love and appreciation it deserves, it usually does save the franchise. So I'm kind of interested in Alien Romulus. I just gotta watch the other ones before that one comes out. And then last but not least, to cap off August, we got The Crow. The Crow remake starring Bill Skarsgård. I've never seen the original movie. And it's so sad what happened. May he rest in peace. And I know a lot of people were very skeptical about them making a remake of this. It felt very unnecessary. And, you know, honestly, all remakes feel unnecessary. But you know what? I hope that they do service to the original and what happened. So I am skeptical. I know Caleb's excited for this one, most definitely. I don't know. I am skeptical, but I'm definitely interested in seeing what they're able to pull off with it. But yeah, so that's all the movies coming out that I've honestly had my eye on this summer. Like I said at the beginning, we apologize for being away from last week, and also this week with just me. Yeah, sorry guys, you just get me, and I know you just love me being just my voice. Well, I mean, if you listen to the Gacy Gazette, you know that it's just my voice, and I know it's been a while since I've done an episode of that, but Caleb and I have something special coming up this weekend. We are going to be going to the first convention that Ryan Grayface, the owner of the Grayface Museum in Savannah, Georgia, will be putting on in Savannah, Georgia, and it will be a case study of John Wayne Gacy. So you best believe that there will be a new episode of the Gacy Gazette coming very soon after that. It's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. Cause he has Raphael Tovar, coming, who, if you guys know about the Gacy case, he was one of the, people that, basically dug up bodies under Gacy's house. I feel bad. I forget her name, but, Gacy's attorney, that was his attorney on death row. She's going to be there. She just recently came out with a book, talking about her experience with being with Gacy on death row. And just like, if you watch, the Peacock, special Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy, she point out so many good points when it came to like Gacy being executed. That like, I agree with her. And I might get some hate for this. But I like that she points out that, when it comes to someone being executed, it should be something that's, examined, something that is just watched, something to be, awed about. Just, you're like there to like, not pay respect because, you know, John Wayne Gacy was an asshole. He deserved what he got. May he rot in hell. But you're there to just watch a man's life be taken, a man's life that deserved to be taken. But it's something that you should be in awe about. You should just examine it, just view it. she said that there shouldn't be cheering, there shouldn't be parties. Like, yeah, like maybe, you know, like at home, like after, but at the prison, it's definitely something that should just be just viewed in awe. And she pointed out that, you know, throwing parties during at the prison the night that he was executed, she feels that it showed disrespect towards the victims. And, you know, I see both sides. You know, yeah, you know, like that, you know, show the victims honor with, you know, being like, yeah, finally the clown goes down, Gacy finally is dead, but also making it a kind of sentimental moment with nothing big going on, no like shouting crowds, just being like, okay, let's take a moment, let's watch this evil man be put to death and show our respect for the victims that he took. And sorry, I'm just gonna keep talking about Gacy for a minute. I just recently finished reading Sam Amarante's book that he wrote about Gacy with it's called Defending a Monster, and he wrote it. You know, for those of you who don't know, Sam Amarante was Gacy's attorney for his case, and I recommend it, guys. If you want to read a book about Gacy, read this book. It's so freaking good. But towards the end, when you know Gacy has a death day set, Amarante points out that he says, you know, everyone's heard of Macy's Day parades. That day, people were having Gacy's Day parades. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people were. But just it's very interesting how she put it in the Peacock series with it's something that should be viewed in awe, examined, you know. I just found that very interesting. Like I get, you know, both points, her point and also people just wanting to cheer that he's finally dead, you know, like it's a party. I haven't read, like I said, I haven't read her book yet. I'm very excited to read it. Yeah. So yeah, she's going to be there. He's going to have some other panelists there. Rafael Tovar is bringing a artifact from the Gacy case that has never, as far as I know, from what I heard, it's never been seen, and it's actually going to be placed in the Grayface Museum after the convention. And so yeah, this is a once in a lifetime thing. I'm so lucky I was able to get off work for this, and it's going to be an amazing experience for me and Caleb. I'm really excited. So yeah, expect a new episode of the Gacy Gazette to come out with that, and I'm going to probably have Caleb join me. At least I hope he wants to. We can just talk about our experience with that. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I'm sure we're going to learn a lot about the Gacy case. I'm sure I'm going to learn stuff I didn't even know, because Ryan Grayface is like the top person I feel that knows about this case, except for the people that were involved. He is truly dedicated his life to studying this case, seeing if there's anything that he can dig up that hasn't been dug up on John Wayne Gacy, and bringing closure to this case that as we know, considering there's, I believe, 6 still unidentified victims, still need closure for those families. It's also crazy that you know, I mean, this will come out after, but so I'm recording this on May 8th, and May 10th will mark the 30th anniversary of when Gacy was executed. So it's crazy to think about that it's been that long. But I'm turning this into an episode of the Gacy Gazette. But that a new episode of that will be coming soon. But this is the All Bros. This is the main All Bros podcast. But yeah, so I'm going to reiterate again. We apologize for missing last week's episode and missing this week's episode. Just some stuff has happened. Honestly, in both of our lives, you know, stuff happens, life happens. But don't you worry, guys. We will be back at it again next week with both me and Caleb. You won't have to just listen to my voice. Because as much as I love just hearing my own voice, it's weird, even though I've done the Gacy Gazette, it's still weird, and it feels weird not, you know, bantering off Caleb. It's definitely weird. But But I digress. But anyway, so yeah, next week you can look forward to our breakdown of the Bob Marley biopic, One Love, which you can stream right now on Paramount Plus if you guys want to watch that before you listen to our episode next week. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan, and we will catch you guys next week.